This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time. Covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. Each and every week, he is Pastor Ken Keltner. Pastor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. It's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you as well. I am excited about today's show. So let me tell you how this thing happened. I was I'm the sideline reporter for Thursday Night Lights High School Football Game of the Week. I tell people they couldn't afford a good-looking girl, so they got all this. And most people agree with me, and then they laugh. And I'm standing on the sidelines, and a guy that I've known for a really long time. And I would think that just about everybody in Waukesha says, hey, he's a really good friend of mine. Tony McCutcheon is the kind of guy that everybody knows, everybody likes, and I coached him in, like, Pony League baseball and stuff. Grew up on the east side. I knew his dad really well, know his kids, know his wife, both Mesmer guys. And he said, hey, do you have any interest in a new guest for Faith in the Zone? I said, always. And he pointed across the field. He said, you see our athletic director over there? Might want to go talk to him. I'll tell you, Pastor, I don't run the 100 as fast as I used to, but man, right over to Kyle Lemieux. I said, hey, young man, come here. I need to talk to you about something. I said, hey, I do this show called Faith in the Zone. He said, no, I know. I said, I understand that maybe we should talk about having you come in. And one thing led to another. We've had some conversations about it. And today is the day that Kyle Lemieux, athletic director at Waukesha West, is in with us. Kyle, how you been?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really good to see you. So far, so good out at Waukesha West. I pay most attention to football, basketball, baseball. You know, the basketball team's got a chance to be really good this year.
Absolutely.
Baseball team, big fan of your coach there. I think he does as good a job as anybody. And I don't think there's a finer man than your head football coach. Steve Rux is just about as good as they come. So far, so good, right?
So far, so good. It's hard to believe that we're in mid-October already.
Right.
I always look at, I had a former boss who called our school Disneyland. And it's just the idea that we have the privilege to come into this great place is fantastic. And so across all 29 programs that we have, there's moments of success and positives to build off of. You've got people like Chad Montez and Steve Rux and the list goes on and on. And even a lot of the programs that don't get a lot of media and publicity. You know, I think of our cross-country girls that are just a machine, our track programs, and, just across the board. We've got some girls in their tennis program headed to state this week. And what's really fun is when you're in an environment of success like that, the celebrations just keep coming. And so it's for me, just a privilege to walk into that building every day and fill the role that I do.
You know, it's interesting because when I'm retired, but I coached at Martin Luther and came into the building when they hadn't had much success. Mm-hmm. And it was a 4-year kind of turnaround process. And the first game that I coached there, it was against Milwaukee School of the Arts. I do a high school sports show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. High school basketball show, didn't know they had a high school basketball team.
Huh.
And they came in, we had 9 students show up at the first game. And then it started to progress. And that last year, when we won state last year, you couldn't get in. You had to get there early to get in the gym, especially in the student section. And it's amazing how much, you know what, when the school starts succeeding, when a team starts succeeding, it just brings people out. And certainly Waukesha West has done really well in a number of sports. How long have you been the athletic director there?
Yeah, so this is year 8 for me at West. And So when I walked in the doors there, I was just this young 28-year-old guy that felt like he'd fooled a few people to get the role that I did. And, you know, since that time, it's really just been a matter of developing a culture and trying to come alongside people and meet kids and adults where they're at and to coach them up well.
Hey, when you got there, was because you're a young guy,
mm-hmm.
And I could not be an athletic director because you have to be way too organized for that. How hard was that first year and second year? And now you must have a template as to what needs to be done at what time. But as a 28-year-old in a pretty big school,
mm-hmm.
especially sports-wise, they expect there are certain programs that hope to hit the field or court and win.
Sure.
Waukesha West expects it. And so that first year or two, how was that for you?
Well, to be honest, that summer I was pursuing a few different jobs, and I saw the West one pop up, and I didn't even consider applying at first. I thought, there's no way, that's out of my league. And so one thing led to another, and I ended up applying, and you walk into this place. And whenever I give presentations and get to talk at different conferences, I always describe West as this environment of rich success. Everywhere you look, there's a plaque, a trophy, a sign, a banner that just says, you know, how great this school has been in a relatively short time.
Yeah, relatively
short. You're 26,
yeah.
Right? And so that forced me to really look at, all right, I'm not sure how much I can I'm definitely not going to teach Steve Rux anything about football or Chad Montez anything about baseball, but where's the leverage point? Like, where do you take a school from good to great? And that's where I really started to drive into our what became our mission statement of transforming aspiring adults through athletics. And so when you look at that as your lens and operate in everything you do through that lens, it became a lot easier. And so we started to really dive into these ideas of, all right, if we're going to want better teams, if we're going to want, you know, better character throughout our programs, if we want to be a great representation out in the community, well, it starts with developing the leadership skills and the character abilities of every single kid on our campus.
You know, when Waukesha West, and you said they haven't been around all that long, and they haven't, but when they started to win in one or two sports early on, people took notice,
mm-hmm.
and said, okay, all right. And then kids from Waukesha started going, hold on. If that's the football program, maybe that's where I should go. Because in Waukesha, you can go to whatever school you want, correct?
That is true. We have school choice.
Right. And Catholic Memorial certainly is there if kids want to go to a private school. And it's interesting that, you know, from what I do for here at 105.7 FM The Fan on the air, I'm constantly talking about, you know, to Montez or to your basketball coach or to your football coach because of the success that you guys have had. Hey, where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school?
Yeah, so I was a Mukwonago guy. And
ooh.
So I grew up, I always joke, I grew up in the Classic Eight where it was in its early years of formation when we were at that spot. And so I have all these little tentacles that reach into the different schools in the sense of my dad taught at Waukesha South for almost 30 years. My mom taught at Arrowhead for over 20 years. You know, I obviously, like I said, went to Mukwonago. I ended up down the line here teaching at North. I was a teacher in the Oconomowoc School District for a while. So
yeah,
I've kind of been everywhere.
Hold on, but you realize there are other schools outside of that conference, right? You didn't even know that, did you? You know what? After we get done taping the show, I'm going to show you some of the other conferences.
I'm curious, Kyle, what sports did you participate in then out at Mukwonago?
Yeah, so I was, at least for 1 year, I was a four-sport guy, so football, basketball, track, and baseball.
No tennis?
No tennis.
See, the older I get, I can't get out there and do anything with Mike in basketball, so I've reverted to tennis.
So you resort to tennis.
I love tennis, so I mean, when you mention tennis, and I might have to go out and watch. What's that?
Oh, did he mention tennis, or did you?
No, he mentioned tennis.
Oh, you did the girls' tennis, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
But is the ladies' tennis? It's not the guys? Or?
Right now, we're in the girls' season.
Oh.
Yeah. So boys in the spring. But, so I was a four-sport, and then I quickly figured out that this at that time, even shorter than I am now, 5'6" maybe, I wasn't going to do a whole lot on the basketball court and use that time to refresh and lift and get ready for the other three. So I was the three sports throughout.
Man, that's awesome. We're talking to Kyle Lemieux. He is the athletic director at Waukesha West High School. And then college-wise, you went to Wisconsin, correct?
I did, yep.
And you got on campus at Wisconsin, and there's a lot of stuff going on up there. Did you enjoy your stay up there?
I loved my Madison experience. Everybody... Considering the number of students that are on campus, everyone probably has a different flavor that they lean toward. But when I think about my Madison experience, it's where I grew up. It's where I had a chance to really become who I am now and get connected with great people. Everything from being connected with some campus ministry pieces up there to I met my wife in March of my freshman year, and that flipped the world upside down.
Hey,
so.
Pastor, he's in our club, by the way.
Oh, he is, huh?
Yeah, I saw a picture. Trust me, one of us is the president, the other is the vice president, but he's more than, I tell you what, he could be right there. He could be like, whatever the next treasurer or secretary is.
He outkicked his coverage.
No doubt.
I won that deal.
He did. Yes. I don't know her, but I've seen her, and I think that you're probably right. You're probably... What is her name, by the way?
Bethany.
Bethany, and you have three kids?
We do, yep. Boy, girl, boy. So Ben is 9, Mia is 7, and Will is 5. So our house is never boring.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sports kids?
Yeah, so I get to have fun with my oldest, Ben. I get to coach him in youth baseball and actually right now a little flag football. So I get my offensive coordinator juices out of the way on the weekend.
And, you're throwing like double reverse bombs at 9 years old.
Naked bootleg.
Yeah, there you go.
And then my daughter, Mia, I get to coach her, and she's a lover of basketball right now, so I get to have fun
with
that.
Smart
girl. My youngest, Will, he's our practice kid. He's the one that could go take BP 6 hours a day and say, when are we starting? And so a little bit of, the rookie ball and all that fun. So it's fun to see them each come into their own.
Your wife a sports fan as well?
She loves them because we love them. And so that might be the best way to put it. No, she's incredibly supportive. And honestly, I wouldn't be able to do the things I do in my position and as a coach unless she was right there with us supportive. So
I can tell you've got two men sitting here, and I'm going to speak for Pastor Ken. We envy you so much. We miss that time. Mm-hmm. I miss that time of going out and watching Katie play grade school basketball and Matthew play basketball and soccer and baseball. And I know that Pastor does. And so I know some weekends are a little crazy. You got to run here and run
there.
They are.
Yeah.
You know what? Embrace it.
Yeah,
enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And take some mental snapshots of it, because there's going to be a day that you're going to go, man, I kind of miss that stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Kyle, we're going to talk about your journey, where it started, where it began, and ask you for your testimony. Our special guest this week, he's Kyle Lemieux. He's the athletic director at Waukesha West. Alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, I'm Mike McGivern, and this is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
What? More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, our special guest. He's the athletic director at Waukesha West. He's Kyle Lemieux. Hey, Kyle, in the second segment, we'd like to talk to guys about kind of their journey, where it all began, and ask them for their testimony, if you'd be willing to share that for us.
Absolutely, yeah. So... I was an easy sell when I was younger in terms of, grew up going to church and things like that. And so if you would have asked me, about this God stuff and my beliefs, I would have said, oh, yeah, like I believe in God and Jesus and all these things. And I think in parallel with that, I was always probably known as like the good kid, where I got good grades. I never got in trouble. I don't swear. To this day, I haven't drank. I haven't used drugs or smoke. Like I've always kind of been squeaky clean to an extent, right? But as I grew a little bit older, I had this opportunity, actually my junior year of high school, to go to this amazing youth group at an area church. And that was the first time when I walked into an environment where it wasn't just church, where you're kind of going through these routines and, you know, these have-tos, but there were people there that wanted to be there, that were my age. And so that just blew me away. It was something different, and started to kind of listen and learn more and understand. And it flipped the script for me, because all of a sudden it was this idea that there's this God who loves me so much that he's in pursuit of me. And that, you know, I have this sin and this weight, and that, you know, I'm a good guy, right? Like, I do these good things. I have good morals, but good is not holy. And so there is this gap. There is this chasm between me and the creator of the universe. And there were some guys that were really impactful in my life that used great sport analogies, right? So I'm a baseball guy, right? So batting average. I can be a terrific hitter, but once I ground out or strike out just once, I will never again hit 1,000 yeah. for my career right. or that season or whatever it might be. And so I can still be great, but I will still always fall short. Mm-hmm. And so that was really where I started to understand this whole idea of, you know, I believed that Jesus was the Son of God and you know, rose from the dead and that he died for my sins. But I didn't really understand what that meant, because maybe at that time I really didn't understand the weight of my sin. Mm-hmm. And so being able to kind of put all of those things in order and see the amazing gift that Christ was, and then the idea that I need to respond to this. You know, like there's an expectation that I take this step and that I, you know, surrender and that I'm all in. And so what was really cool at that time was I didn't have to do it alone. There were dozens of people from our school who would go to this youth group, to the point where we had this culture of, you know, before we'd even go to school, we'd go to somebody's house and sing worship songs and pray and get the day started. I mean, like, what high school kids do that, you know? And so I was just so fortunate to be in this collection of people that were on fire and ready at the same time. And so that just kind of led, you know, one thing to another, where that was January of 2001. And here we are. Was able to go off to college and get involved in campus ministry things, and able to meet people that really wanted to invest in my life. And I, again, really started to cement this idea of what it looked like to follow Christ.
You know, Pastor, I know for me, his testimony is really powerful. But for you, you know, we talk about you were a youth minister for a long time. And anytime somebody who starts to give their testimony and they start by saying, look, it kind of turned when I was in a youth group from church, I think it's so strong for the people that listen to this show that either are in youth groups, if they have kids that are in youth groups, if they're pastors that are thinking, oh, you know, our youth group is fine. I think it's going okay. I think it's so important. And you've lived that life. You've walked that walk. It's so important for those people that even if they're just on the fringe of a youth group, that they invest in that youth group because of stories like this.
Yeah, powerful. And if I could just share a text I got today, Mike, from a African-American young man who he lived in the projects in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And one Wednesday night, he came over to church. I'd go pick a lot of these guys up. They wanted to play basketball after church, and we'd play some ball. And I remember as I was talking, I said, anybody here interested in, you know, asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior? And he just kept raising his hand up and down, you know, during the... So I couldn't get to him. We went and played ball and, you know, dropped him off. And next day, school was out. So I went over, and the man, there in the projects, they had two or three basketball courts, and he's on the court playing. And he sees me, and he says, you guys go ahead and play. I'm going to go over here and talk to Ken. And that was on October the 16th, 1986. And today, he sent me this text. He says, hey, Ken, thanks for giving to the Lord, because on October 16th, 1986, you showed me how I could receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. And I thought,
wow.
You know, and that's exactly what happens, you know, when you have people investing in you. And I love your illustration of the batting. I use basketball because the boys, you know, would always come out and say, Dad, look, we're dunking it. And that's because they lowered the goal. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, that's good. But it'll be exciting when you the standard remains the same at 10 feet. You know, and now they can do that. Mm-hmm. But I said, God never lowers the standard and go, I feel so sorry for him. Yeah, I'm gonna accept them. I'll have them come in. He never lowers that standard. Mm-hmm. And thus, that's why we all fall short of it because of our sin. And great testimony, Kyle, of how you came to know Christ personally as your Savior. And there are a lot of young people and youth workers that invested in that message and shared Christ with you. And so thankful that you know you've been born into the family of God.
Hey, Kyle, can I ask you a question? So you said, look, I was the guy who went to church. So your parents, your family, obviously, where you grew up in a family that knew going to church was important.
Yeah. So, you know, that was kind of the weekly thing. That was what we did. And, you know, it I think sometimes I even think of my own family right now, right, that sometimes maybe kids don't love it, but it's a matter of creating that routine and that importance and you know, laying that foundation. And so I'm thankful that that's what it looked like in our house, that every Sunday that was what we did, and there was great purpose to it.
Your parents still in the area?
They are. They're Waukesha folks, yep.
Yeah. And I'm hoping they're listening to this because you got to know how proud of you that they are of you, but to be able to have you come on a radio station and say, look, this is how it happened, this is when it happened, and then to be able to say, look, I've never drank and I've never done drugs, yet you went to Madison. So I mean, that, you know, every time you see a list, they're in the top five of the biggest party schools in the country.
Sure.
And you had such a good base to be able to say, okay, I can go to Madison. I don't need to be involved on that side of the street. I'm gonna be over here. Mm-hmm. That tells me a lot about you and that strong foundation that you had before you got up to Madison.
Absolutely. I talk about this a lot now with kids, where I say there's great power in being able to live your life without regret.
Yeah.
And so when I was in Madison and you know, after graduation, I was lucky enough to intern with a campus ministry for a year. And so I got to have some really cool conversations with guys around campus. And that was just a recurring theme that, you know, there's a lot of brokenness. And everybody has it. You know, there's no hierarchy of sin, right? Like, you fall short because you fall short. But but everybody has their story. And so being able to help people navigate in a way where, you know, if you can avoid those moments of feeling that regret later on, boy, you're going to be glad that you did.
You know, when, Kyle, you're talking about being up at Madison, my wife, Kathy, and I on plane trips and so forth, I've talked to many several students from University of Madison, and most of them are atheists. And, you know, one thing that I'm able to share with them is, you know, when you were born, you weren't born an atheist. You've been educated to become an atheist. I said, but God still has this great love for you, and the Bible is true. And so to hear your testimony of how God used you, I'm sure you had some great conversations to show the different side of what maybe they might be learning in the classroom, that there is a God and He does love you very much.
Yeah, and I think in the end it comes down to it's not me.
Yeah.
It's God working through me, right? And so you think about the number of times people need to hear anything to remember it, to have it become something that is important in their lives, right? And so you never know where you are in that person's journey, but if you can you know, be that good word, if you can just be that helper. I mean, I think about you know, living a spirit-filled life, right? Yeah. And so, you know, if the way that I would go about things just brings out this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, well, great. Like, then they got to experience that. And isn't that what we would all want for our kids and for ourselves and people we love? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Hey, how comfortable are you? And we had this conversation, you and I, and through via text message, athletic director at a public school, and Pastor was basketball coach at a public school in Colorado, and he has story of look, we would invite kids over for dinner and be able to share a little bit, but when we're on campus, We understand what the rules are. And, you know, Pastor has said a number of times, look, if you walk worthy, right, if you're walking different, you know what, you don't have to tell people. You don't have to have that conversation on campus, but certainly off campus if they want to have the conversation. But you're able to carry yourself different than others. And I would think that that's something that you knew as a 28-year-old going at to Waukesha West. Look, this is who I am. This is my job, mm-hmm. but this is who I am. And has that been an easy thing for you?
Yes, in the sense that I am who I am, and I think one of the reasons that I'm able to have the good fortune and success that I've had is because of what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a husband and a father and a son and sibling and all of those things, and all shaped by the way that that God has really redeemed my life. Yeah. And then through that, I get to have these awesome opportunities, such as being at Waukesha West, right? And so even being here today, it's a unique scenario, being a public school administrator.
You bet. Yeah.
And so I am here today as me, Kyle Lemieux,
yes,
right?
You are.
And the guy who follows Jesus and loves sports and appreciates this type of platform. And at the same time, I know my role within that public institution in the sense that, if anything, my faith puts me in a spot where I even more closely want to adhere to those policies and those guidelines because I want to do my job with integrity. And so, you know, I'm always going to live out who I am, but at no time do I feel like it would be Christ-like or responsible of me to cross those lines in a way that would jeopardize my position or anybody else within our school.
Man, that's awesome. Pastor, you got one quick question, then we got to get to a break.
Well, I was just going to make a comment with Kyle. With when you mentioned the school where I was at, the administrator had come to know Christ because a ninth grader walked into his office and shared Christ with him. He got down on his hands and knees. Big, big public school. It was a 6A public school that I was in. And after he had come to Christ and we got to know each other, he said, hey, I want you to come in here and help me, but I need you to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. That's exactly how Jesus told his disciples to live, meaning what you just said. Hey, you got to keep the rules. You got to keep the policies. You can't cram religion down anybody's throat, or you can't cram the Bible down anybody's throat. And that's a great testimony.
It's a great
testimony.
It has
to be a great light there at West.
I agree. Boy, it put tears in my eyes. I love that. I do. I just simply adore the youth side of it. You know what? He goes to a youth group, and there are kids his age that want to be there. And they're getting together before school to sing worship songs is really good. He is Kyle Lemieux. He's the athletic director of Waukesha West. He's representing Kyle Lemieux, his family, his parents. He's a great ambassador for the Lemieux family. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by
Brain Balance of Mequon.
Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, he's Kyle Lemieux. Again, he is representing himself today. He works at Waukesha West as their athletic director. Hey, Kyle, when you were up interning at Madison, can you talk a little bit about, you know, it's such a rich environment to be able to do what you were doing, to be able to try to talk to kids that, you know, might not really want to talk to you. I don't know how many doors were opened or how many doors you had to just kind of nudge open up there. Was that a difficult job?
Well, it was interesting because you'd encounter guys at all different places in life. And I find that oftentimes you've got a, this tough exterior or this shell or maybe an avoidance of some of these conversations because, you know, oftentimes when I talk to guys through my intern role, it might be the first time anyone ever had an intentional conversation about God with them. And so it's new, it's different, it's awkward, right? And so I joke even in my role now, I should have a sign in my office that says embrace the awkward, because okay. it's going to happen. And so I very much saw that as the same kind of an idea. So again, whether I was the first person who did it or I was the ninth guy in the last 3 months, like this God stuff won't go away. There must be something to this, right? I just appreciated the opportunity to be in there with them. And a lot of times it could be pretty intimate conversation where you sit down with a guy and before you know it, an hour and a half has passed and you know a lot about their life and where they're at.
Yeah. Would you say that when you were there that you saw that the college young people there on campus were willing to talk to you about this? When I went down to Marquette, I was doing some work down there on the street. And I mean, it's like everybody wanted to talk to you.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting where it's usually the fear is self-created in your own mind of do I, you know, initiate this conversation or approach this person? And even if someone has, this is kind of a societal lesson, right? Even if someone has completely opposite views from you, it's okay to enter into a conversation, and there's a way to get through that in a respectful and challenging way even.
Yeah, that in our society nowadays, that doesn't happen much anymore, Kyle.
No.
You know, it doesn't. It's, you know, especially on the political side, it's hard to have a conversation with somebody on the other side of the aisle and not just have the conversation. You know, nobody needs to yell. Let's just have the conversation. And the same thing with this. There's, you know, a number of times... in fact, once here, where had a guy that he said, "Look, this was a year ago or so," and he said, "I really don't like the bumper music you play during the holidays." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, because I'm an atheist." I said, "Well, how long did it take you to read the Bible?" He said, "What are you talking about? I'm an atheist." I said, "Well, you haven't read the Bible?" And he said, "No." I said, "Well, you're not an atheist. You're a non-believer." And he said, "Oh, okay, I'm a non-believer, and I get tired of the bumper music you play." And so we had that conversation about, look, let's say you're right, so we die and we go on the ground, correct? He's like, "Yeah." I said, "So no harm, no foul." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, I think because of my faith, I'm a better husband, better father, better employee, better friend, but then I die and go on the ground, and you don't care about any of that other stuff, so no harm, no foul." He said, "That's right." I said, "That's if you're right." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Now let's change the scenario. Let's say I'm right." "Uh-oh." "Right?" He goes, "What?" He said, "Oh, I'll get a suntan." And I go, "That's what you think. That's really what you think." I said, "Look, it's very biblical. I have this conversation with you." He said, "I don't want to talk to you anymore. Play whatever music you want." And he walked out. So I, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's hard for me because there are people that I think want to have the conversation but get really uncomfortable. And this is how they've always thought. But now they're getting a little older and their kids are getting a little older and they want to have it. But they've been, you know what, with their group, they've always said, "Oh, those Bible thumpers, I'm not talking to one of those guys."
I would say, Kyle, too, how refreshing it is talking to you, because I was just doing a study recently that church growth today is really only 1% of church growth is seen from someone talking to someone and seeing them come to Christ and getting them into your church. Church growth really is the church shuffle from one church to the other church by a group of believers. And what Mike was talking about there of people being willing to have a desire to even want to talk to people about eternity is you don't see many Christians that really even want to talk to anybody. And so listening to you has been very refreshing, especially while you're on campus.
Hey, can I ask about that? Because we've had guys on, Kyle, that have said, "Look, and one was a coach from Indiana said, "I was really good in the locker room talking about my faith to my staff and to my players. Walked out of the locker room and I really struggled." Have you always been comfortable in that role to be able to approach people, to talk to people about it?
I think I'm always willing to have the conversation. That being said, you know, when it's your job essentially to go and initiate those conversations, it is different from now being, you know, adult and out and about and living life. And I'm finding that even though I'm willing to have those conversations, I think the way that people begin to see Christ and to know Christ is what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, if it looks different, if it sounds different, if it feels different, I'm going to be drawn to that. And there's just going to be some, I look at my wife's story where first time she went to a campus event in Madison, and she walked in and she says, I don't know what they have, but it's different and I want it.
Yeah.
And so I hope that in everything I do and the way that I live my life, that people are drawn closer to the Lord that way.
I'm sorry, your wife's first name again?
Bethany.
Bethany, was she a Wisconsin girl? She grew up in Wisconsin, go to high school in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Where did she go?
Oconomowoc.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys, you will not get out of that conference.
I know.
You marry in the conference.
Classicate all the way.
Your parents are in the conference. You're all in. You really don't think there are other conferences, do you? I mean, that's awesome. Did she grow up in a home that she was in church a lot, and she have strong base with her walk as well?
Yeah, so she grew up going to some private schools and you know, the Catholic denomination. And so, you know, she...
by the way.
I think she'd tell you the same, that she knew these things, but it really didn't change and shape her heart until being able to encounter some of this in college.
Kyle, we had a guy, and I use it all the time. He said, look, I went to Catholic schools as I did. They told me to carry the Bible. Don't open it, Mr. McGivern. You just carry it when we tell you to carry it. And this guy came on the show and said, I knew Jesus Christ. I knew him the same way I knew Abraham Lincoln. Hmm. I knew all the stories. I just had no relationship with him, mm-hmm. and that's how I felt until my wife started going to Eastside Baptist Church, and I kept saying, hey, don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. Don't drink the Kool-Aid down there. And all of a sudden, then I start going, and it's like a history lesson all the time. Mm. And certainly nobody better to preach than Baptist. Oh, hey, Pastor, how you doing? The Baptist ministers, as Pastor does a great job. But that's interesting that Bethany felt that way. And when she walked him into that meeting, she must have been like, wow, what they have, I want. And was that the start of the journey for her?
That's what I would trek back to. And so, you know, that was our freshman year in Madison. And here we are, married 14 years next week. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. Mike, you were on something there, and I know Kyle has mentioned it. It's a relationship. It's not religion. So why don't you share what, you know, people will come up to you and they'll say, hey, man, I really like that religious show you got.
And you know what, Kyle? I'll be in a grocery store. If somebody recognizes me from the TV stuff or basketball stuff or whatever, they'll yell from one aisle to the other. Hey, McGivern, you know, I heard you talking to this coach. Good job. You should ask him this. And if it's faith in the zone, they'll come to my aisle, and they'll look both ways. And they'll walk right up and go, hey, are you Mike McGivern? I go, yeah. You know, I really like that religion show you do. I go, I don't do a religion show. Aren't you Mike McGivern? Yeah. That religion show. I said, you mean the faith-based show? Yeah, yeah. I said, great. How you doing with all that? Gotta go. Go on. Like, they'll stay and talk to me about Steve Rux for hours. But boy, if it's about talking about this, man, they head out quick, I'll tell you that. Boys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. It's been a great show. He's Kyle Lemieux, and he is actually Bethany's husband.
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, and he is the father of these three wonderful kids, Ben,
Mia, and Will.
Ben, Mia, and Will. I hope you guys are listening. This is, you should be really proud of your dad. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Oh, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. He's Pastor Ken Keltner, our special guest. He's Kyle Lemieux. He's the athletic director at Waukesha West, and strong testimony, great family guy. And Maguanago, it's all the same conference, of course, but Maguanago, Oconomowoc, Waukesha North, Waukesha South, where the parents were teaching. Kyle, when doing some research on you, and obviously, leadership at the high school level is really important to you, and it's something that you truly believe in. And again, I looked up a lot of different things that you've been a part of and you believe in. And I like the fact, especially at the high school level, because I don't know if we do enough at that level to talk to kids about what it is to be a leader.
Yep.
and accept that responsibility of being a leader, because it's easy not to be. It's easy to be a follower.
Right. We often say, and this might be a Tony McCudden line that you can trace back to him, that sometimes leadership is lonely.
You bet.
And I would say, too, that, you know, when you think about this building that we have and you think about all the success that we've had, right, going back to when I started, it was like, well, what do we do to move this place from good to great? And so I honed in on this idea of, well, let's start with their hearts, right? Let's make them, you know, more concerned with their character. And then that's going to start to expand into a lot of other pieces. And so this leadership push is now in year 8, and we've built it to the point where we hold an annual conference where the coolest part is that it's completely student driven. And so I have a committee of about 25 kids who plan everything from the time of, you know, different events, student-led breakout seminars, the team time aspects we're going to do, to what we have for lunch. Like, it is their day, and we help facilitate it. And so it's really powerful learning.
Kyle, that's awesome, because really what you hear on the news often is this football team or that ball team, you know, they have a problem because they did all this hazing on the younger, you know, class of young people in, you know, on the team or whatever. And so to be developing leaders to care about those that are underneath them, is that's a pretty strong message.
Hey, Pastor, you know, it was and I didn't know this. 3 years ago, I'd never heard of vaping, never heard of it. And when I was out talking to Kyle and talking about some of the things that they're trying to accomplish out at Waukesha West, he had some unbelievable stats for me about vaping and about how this is just like wildfire has taken over. And this is not a guy in a high school that's going to stand pat and say, okay, let's just kind of hope that kids aren't going to do it. They're not going to try it. They've tried to meet this thing where it's at and say, okay, we need to figure this out. This has just taken off.
It has. In fact, we were looking at some data earlier, and there is some sort of stat along the idea, and this is self-reporting, and so we believe it to be mostly accurate, but nearly half of all high school students have tried it. And specifically in our building, something to the effect of 13% had used in the last 30 days. And so when you see all those other news stories that are out and about this, it's scary. It's alarming. And so we'll have the conversations of, hey, I live in the same community as you. I care about you. I want you to do well. And, you know, sometimes when you work with high school age kids, I always say it's about pulling back the blinders. They see about 6 inches in front of them. And our job is to help expand that view a little bit and create some perspective.
You know, it's interesting doing this and coaching for as long as I have, and then this high school sideline stuff. And I don't know if it was at Waukesha West, the anti-vaping program.
That was us.
There was another high school that said, look, we're involved in this part. And what we're trying to tell kids, and it might have been that group actually, Kyle, that, look, if you don't drink and you don't vape, either, that's what we do. And we're the cool group.
You're in the majority.
You're in the majority. Come with us. Hang out with us, because this is kind of what we are. And you don't have to feel like you're by yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really important for sure. And the fact that those kids will do that. Hey, I got to tell you a quick story, because you're a Waukesha guy. There's a man from our church, Pastor
Greg.
Greg loves Faith in the Zone. And in fact, he's a greeter at Brookside, and I'll drop my mother-in-law off, and before she can get out, he's always kind of by the door talking, hey, why didn't you ask him this, or did you had this guy on, that was good. And he was at Culver's, and he, I think he, before he ate, he bowed his head and he was going to pray, and a woman that worked at Culver's came up and said, hey, I saw you were praying, I'm a believer as well. And he said, that's great. And somehow they got to Faith in the Zone. And he said, hey, I go to church with McGivern and Pastor Ken. And she went in the back and took a $20 bill, put it in a envelope, and said, hey, I want to see that show continue. I don't know if this is going to help, but gave that. And I want to thank Nancy from Culver's out in Waukesha. I just, what it warmed my heart the fact, first of all, I thought our wives are the only girls that would listen to the show. But Nancy, who, you know what? Thank you so much, Nancy, from Culver's in Waukesha. How cool is that?
Oh, that was, I tell you, when I got that, I said, I gotta get with Mike and let him know this. So, Nancy, thank you so much. And we appreciate your support and that you enjoy the program. And I hope there's several out there who enjoy listening to Faith in the Zone. I got one question for Kyle. Can I go sports
on this?
You
bet. Got about 4 minutes or so.
All right. Plenty of time here to find out from you, Kyle. We like to do a little bit of sports with what was your, you know, claim to fame in your high school days of playing ball?
Oh, man, I would like to think I'm a much better coach and administrator than I was athlete at the time. You know, I'm 5'7 on a good day. And so I guess the way I survived was that I could just hopefully move faster than everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so I had a great fortune of, you know, playing, you know, 3 years of varsity baseball and a 4-year track guy and, you know, being able to play for Keith Hensler in the McGuanago program there. And
yeah, he you know what? The next time he throws the ball as a coach will be like the second.
So I grew up in that triple option. So
you weren't a receiver, were you?
No, actually, I played QB and then a little bit of running back. So my senior year, I started both ways, running back and D-back for most of the year. But no, I still look now and I can look at a defense and I can find the 3-tech and the 5-tech and figure out where we're going to run the option to, and you know it won't matter because we're running a different system.
One of the best coaches in the state of Wisconsin, I think Keith was, and I love his son. Matt Hensler does a great job.
He does a great job. In fact, Matt was actually able to come out last year when we held our annual leadership conference for West. Matt and some other coaches came out, and they just wanted to check it out and see what's happening. So that's neat too, where it's not just an us thing anymore, but now we have other places and schools coming in to see what's happening at West.
Well, so what position did you play in baseball?
So I always tell the story, and even as I coach youth baseball now, I was a shortstop and pitcher all the way until about sophomore year, and then I figured out this throwing strikes thing is a little difficult, so guess what? We're going to play outfield. And
center field?
I played them all, actually. I was able to bounce around, and I love all sports, but baseball is my love. After graduating, I was invited back onto the staff, so I was an assistant at McGuanago for 7 years before taking over at North.
Hey, I guarantee you, Kyle, if Mike McGivern's on third base and I pop up to you in center field, I have a feeling if he's tagging, you could still throw him out.
No chance. Are you kidding? I'll tell you this, that catcher better get out of the way, because if I start sliding or rolling, he's going to be hurting pretty bad. I'll tell you this, you better hit it deep, Pastor, and I might cheat a little bit and hopefully the ump's not looking. That's kind of the key to that. Hey, Kyle, I can't thank you enough. What a wonderful testimony. I want to thank Tony McCudden for saying, look, that you want to go talk to him because he's on fire. Those are the words that Tony McCudden used. And one day I'll tell you a couple of my favorite McCudden stories, by the way. And, you know, not sure we could do all of them on Faith in the Zone. We could. They're good stories. He's a good man. And I know that he listened to this show, his family does, and I appreciate him, his willingness to help us with a guest. Keep up the good work, young man, out at Waukesha West, and understand that's what you do for a living. Then you head home to Bethany to Ben, me, and Will, and take care of those kids and enjoy all the stuff that you get to do with them.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. It's fun being here.
Yeah, we loved having you.
You bet. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.